Kusum Sarovar Ki Jai. So Krishna, he heard Radharani's crying and he came to her aid disguised as a gardener. And he unhooked her chunari very carefully and took it off the bush to serve Radharani. Then he walked away a few feet. When Radharani was so busy picking flowers and she was just crying, "Help, help, Vishakha, help me, help me." And then all of a sudden she was, "Oh, I'm free." And she walked away and she said, "Well, wait a minute. I don't see any sakis. How my chunari got free from..." And she turned like this, and when she turned she saw, "Oh, not sure." And she walked back, she started walking back to the sakis. But somehow or other she forgot her basket of flowers. When she returned to the sakis, they said, "Radhika, you wandered in the forest and where's your basket? Where are your flowers? Didn't you pick any flowers?" I haven't picked any flowers because my chunari got hooked in a thorn tree and I couldn't free myself." The sakis asked, "Well, how did you get free?" Radhika said, "I don't know, some unknown gardener was, you know those gardeners with the gumshoes on their head, you know, the red gumshoes? Some gardener, he came and he unhooked my sari, but somehow in doing that, he hooked my heart." Then remembering that beautiful sidelong glance, Krishna Kripa Kataksha, and Radharani became overwhelmed with ecstatic prema, and then she fell unconscious like on the ground, like a banana tree cut down by a whirlwind. The sakis immediately picked up Radharani, saying, all right, come, let's return to Barsana. We have picked enough flowers for everyone." And Radharani was a little, she said, "Wait a minute, no. I don't want to return to Barsana. I want to go back to that thorn tree. I want to meet that person who unhooked me." So Radharani and her sakis returned to that thorn tree. Then they met the Mali. And when they met the Mali, he said, "Hey, you! You're the ones who've been stealing my flowers. Now I finally caught you." And the saki said, "Your flowers? These are our flowers. How can you accuse us of stealing your flowers? I'm the Van Mali. I'm the gardener in charge of these flowers. How can you say they're yours? I've been maintaining this garden. I've been watering it and weeding it and taking care of it. And you come here and just pick all the flowers and destroy everything." So a big argument broke out between the Mali and the Sakis. And in that, all the Sakis' flower baskets tipped over and fell on the ground, which made them unusable for the Sanji Puja. But somehow, during all this scuffling with the flower basket, then Krishna's flute, which was hiding under his gumsha, fell out on the ground. And then Radharani laughed and said, "Hey, Sakis!" Because Krishna didn't know he fell out. He said, "Hey, Sakis, why are you arguing? This is not a Vanamali. Vanamali means forest gardener. This is Ban Bihari. Ban Bihari Krishna Bhagavan Ki. He's the one who lovingly sports in the forest." Hearing this, the sakis pulled off Krishna's disguise. His game was up. But since it was late, all the other sakis ran off back to Barsana. And all the only sakis were left was Radharani, Lalita, and Vishakha. They stayed back with Krishna because everyone else went back to do their sanjis. Because this sanji is done in the late afternoon, this sanji design on the side of the house with cow dung and flower petals. In the street I live with, all the girls, the daughters in all these houses, they're all up and down the street, they make these sanjis every afternoon, right around sunset. "Listen, Mali," Radharani says, "since you made us drop all these flowers, then what are you going to do with them?" Krishna replied, "What are you going to do with them?" Radharani said, "We intended to use them to decorate our janji or shanji." And Krishna the Mali said, No, I think a better idea is I will use these flowers to decorate you." Radharani said, "Karo, do it. Krishna said, "Just wait, these flowers are full of dust. I will go to the Yamuna and wash off the dust." And Radharani said, "It's late now, the sun is setting, it's becoming dark in here. We don't want to stay here by ourselves." Krishna said, All right, I won't leave you here and go away to the Yamuna." And then Krishna took his flute and he stuck it in the ground like this. And then when he stuck it in the ground, went like that, then all this water came rushing out of the hole from the flute, and that became the waters of Kusum Sarovara. So Krishna stood behind, and that's this painting, this Leela is being illustrated in that next, in that the little temple or burial vault of the king's queen. On the roof of that temple, there's a showing Krishna braiding Radharani's hair and putting flowers. So Krishna stood behind Radharani, took flowers which he had washed off, and he started decorating Radharani's hair with these beautiful, fragrant flowers. And someone handed Radharani a mirror to look at, see how beautiful her hair looked now that Krishna decorated with these flowers, kusam, pushpa, fragrant flowers. And then Radharani held the mirror and simply she looked at Krishna. She looked at the face of Krishna. Then Lalita Sakhi said, Krishnaji, all the other gopis have returned. Well, this is one of the stickers of it. Yeah, Radharani's holding the mirror. This is a few hundred years old painting. It's all done with natural earth colors. Radharani is holding the mirror and she's looking at Krishna in the mirror. And he's combing her hair. And rather interesting, Krishna and Radharani. There's more, the peacock feather is there. Looks more like Rukmini and Dwarkadish, but, like Aishwarya type, like king and queen. This is, sometimes you can, from this temple here, which is being maintained by our godbrother, Balavajra Prabhu. He's staying there, and then you can get these, give a donation, because they're doing some work over here. That's right, you can see this picture? But you can get some idea that they were trying to depict the Leela. So this is the Leela, that one of the Leelas, one of the many Leelas that happened here. So Lalita, she says, listen, Krishna, all the gopis have gone home, and all to decorate their shanjis, but we're so late, and it's going to be too late. We have to decorate before sunset. So how will we be able to do it? How will we be able to decorate our sanjis before sunset? And this is an aparad and this puja to the ancestors. Don't worry. All you sakis just run home to Barsana. I will go to Barsana and personally make it. I will personally make and decorate your sanji myself. So Krishna, he seems to be quite a master of disguise. Because now Krishna disguised himself as a gopi. And then he went off to Barsana and he made the sanji for Lalita and he made the sanji for Vishakha and he made the sanji for Radharani. So this was, as I mentioned, when on other days Krishna would come here, he would bring all the cows to Manasi Ganga, to Govardhan, to drink water. And then they would walk up here to Gwalpukur, which is about 1 kilometer that way on the Prikamarg. And then all the coward boys would stay there around that beautiful lake, small lake over there under the trees. Then the boys would start sleeping. So then Krishna would take Madhumangal and Subal and said, let's wander to Kusum Sarovara. Then they would come here to Kusum Sarovara. And they would meet with Radharani's representatives, Brindadevi, Dinishta, and Kundalata. They would all be here, coming from Barsana or Yavat. And then they would meet with Krishna and discuss about Radharani's arrival in Radhakund, what time she would arrive, and which particular kunja she'd be waiting to meet with Krishna. So one day when the gopis were here picking flowers, sometimes that's just a general scenario to describe what I just said, and that's in Govinda Lilamrita. This would be a meeting place here, Kusum Sarovara. But other days, Radharani and the gopis, they would come here and pick all kinds of beautiful flowers to take to Radhakund in order to decorate Krishna. And once Radharani was out picking flowers on one, and there's one particular kadamba tree, and there was a very beautiful flower, was a little bit beyond Radharani's reach. So she was trying to reach that very fragrant and beautiful kadamba flower, but she was reaching, she couldn't quite get the flower. So Krishna was at Radhakund, he was on his way to Radhakund, and somehow Krishna is, because he's everywhere, everything is within Krishna, he's within everything. He understands the heart of his devotee. And Krishna understands the needs of his devotee. And Krishna understands the feelings of his devotee. So he always acts in such a way to bring out the best in the thinking, feeling, and actions of all his devotees. So Krishna was thinking, oh, I think my Priyaji is in some difficulty. at Kusumvan. So then Krishna came here secretly one day while Radharani was picking flowers, and he hid a little bit in the trees, behind the trees, and he saw, oh, she's feeling distress. She's trying to reach this Kadamba flower, which is just beyond her fingers' reach. Krishna, when he saw that flower was just beyond the reach, and Radharani's only picking that flower to make a garland for Krishna. So Krishna, very quietly, from the backside, it was a very, very, very big Kadamba tree, he climbed up the tree, and he went up very high to where that branch was, and unseen, he walked out onto that branch, and he pushed it down with his foot, and then the branch went like this. And then when the branch came down, Radharani was thinking, mercy, Bhagavan, mercy. This flower has come in my reach. And then she got the flower. As soon as Radharani held the flower, then Krishna took his foot off the branch, which was pushed down. The branch was like this, and boing, the branch went up like that. But Radharani was startled, and she didn't want to let go of the flower, so she was holding the flower and the branch, and she sprung up in the air like this. She just, hey, help, Saki, Saki, help, oh, Saki, Saki, Saki. She's just dangling, hanging, holding onto the Kadamba flower in the tree, and just dangling in the air like this with her legs down like this. So it's an extremely embarrassing position for a young, chaste girl to be in, to be hanging 5 feet off the ground, suspended on the end of a branch of a tree, and your blue sari and your red petticoat and the petticoat slip, whatever you call it, everything is just like flying in the breeze. So then Krishna, he secretly and invisibly climbed down the Kadamba tree, and then he ran very fast around to some back part of the forest. Then he came walking in holding his flute. What's wrong? What's wrong? What's all the commotion? Radharani's yelling, help, help. Sakis, what's wrong? And all the Sakis were gathered around Radharani, like this. Radharani, don't let go. Pray to Narayan. Just pray to Narayan. And so she was saying, Narayan, Narayan. Pray hard, don't make offenses. Pray without offenses. He's not coming. And then she says, help, help. We can't, because they couldn't. She was beyond their reach. She's just dangling like this, and then how will they catch? So then, look, Radharani, guess what's happened? Krishna's come. Oh, Krishna's come. And all his suckies were so excited. So then Krishna ran over to Radharani, and he's standing there looking up, and you can imagine that it's a little embarrassing for Radharani to be standing there hanging from the branch of a tree. And but she had no alternative but to let go. So Krishna said, let go, let go. So she let go, and then Krishna caught Radharani in his arms and then embraced her tightly. Sri Krishna Bhagavan Ki. So this is about one sweet pastime that happened here at Kusumvan. And of course, specifically about Kusumvan because we're speaking about it. But nearby there's also Gwalpur. And there's a nice pastime here about the gopas. So we can hear something about the gopas. Gwalpur is only about a 5-minute walk on the Prikamarg that way than inside. Gwalpur means the lake of the cowherd boys' lake. Here the cowherd boys would usually come, as I mentioned, they would rest there with the cows, and then they would break open their tiffins and start eating. And on this particular afternoon, Krishna, as I mentioned, the gopas were there for many hours. Krishna left with Madamangal and Subal. They went to Radhakund and then on to Suryakund, where Krishna disguised himself as Vishwasharma, as the universal Brahman, as a pujari, and he did puja for Radharani at Suryakund. And then Jatila somehow came there. Of course, she didn't discover Krishna's identity. But then she gave a big reward, lots of prasad and big bag of laddus and so many things. So Krishna didn't want to take that reward, but he gave it to Madamangal. So Madamangal was thinking, wow, what a stash of laddus. So he just tied the whole bundle up in his turban. And he put it under his bundi. The Brahmins wear this type of kurta where you tie on the side, you see, it's called like bundi, I think. And he kept it under there and just put it right next to his belly, because he has a big, big belly, so you can't really tell what's the belly and what's the ladus. So it just looked like his belly got bigger. So there's this big belly and there's a big basketball full of laddus. And people thought, okay, he had a big feast or something. So he had all these laddus hidden there. So Balaram was there, Krishna, all the coward boys, and he's very mischievous. So he noticed some peculiarity about the waistline of Madhavangal. So then he said, Madhavangal, what is that? It seems you have some bundle bulging from your belly there. What is that? Let me see. No, this is nothing. You know, this is nothing, Dalji. Don't pay any attention. Dalji, with his eyes and the movement of his head, as they do in India, Dalji gave a signal to some of his coward boys. So they swooped in. They swooped in on the Madhavangal, and two cowboys, they grabbed his hands, and one coward boy put his hands over his eyes. And Madhavangal says, "Hey, what are you doing? What are you doing?" Another coward boy lifted up his bundi and grabbed that bundle and ran off with it, the bundle of laddus. And the Gopas, they ran a small distance away, short distance away. Then they sat down, they immediately opened up that bundle of laddus, and they start throwing them at each other and eating them. "Hey, Madhu, they're really good. They're really good laddus. Too bad you can't have any." So then Madhavangal, becoming angry, because they're right in front of him, they're eating up his whole stash of laddu, you know, dakshin. So then he took out his Brahmin thread. Said, "Listen, I'm a Brahmin. I'm going to curse all you coward boys to turn into frogs." So all the coward boys started laughing, especially Sridhar. "Oh, yeah, right. Wait, you're going to curse who? What?" And then he was, "Hey, what is this? Hey!" And he's becoming very angry. Then Krishna said, okay, Madhavangal, let's calm down. It's all right. We'll get some more laddus. Listen, the boys didn't mean anything bad. Just relax, you know." So Krishna pacified Madhavangal and calmed him down. So after he was pacified, Madhavangal started laughing a little bit too. And he forgave the coward boys, because forgiveness is the most important quality of the Brahmins. He says in ninth canto that Brahmanas, when they exhibit or display the quality of forgiveness, that display of that quality of forgiveness, or shama, it illuminates their heart like the sun illuminates the day after the darkness of night. So the quality of forgiveness is one of the sterling qualities in the treasury of a Brahmin, Sarubhushanam. So he forgave them, and then he said, "Oh, anyway, okay, well, can I have a few crumbs? Can you give me a few little pieces of whatever is left over there? Still, I want something of those laddus. Something of my dakshin." Okay, this leela is called, this leela is over, this one, in case you didn't know. Now there's another one. Kusum Bihar Leela. So in this particular, very extraordinary pastime, Radharani came here to Kusumvan with all of her sakis, and they collected heaps and heaps and mountains of flowers because they wanted to make a whole mandir out of flowers, like sometimes we have in the summertime at Bunke Bihari or other temples. So Radharani and her sakhi, she said, "Let's make a whole mandir out of flowers. A flower bed, and then there'll be some other things." So they were going to make, and they were going to decorate the outside walls of the temple with flower pictures of Krishna's pastimes. Such things are possible in the spiritual world. Paintings made of flowers, temples made of flowers, beds made of flowers, and hearts made of flowers. Flowers are fragrant, they're colorful, and they're beautiful. So the hearts of Krishna and his devotees in the spiritual world are colorful, fragrant, and beautiful. And someday we may enter there and join them with our flower hearts. When Srila Prabhupada came to America in 1966 and collected a group of American disciples, boys and girls, around him, he said, "I have come to your country and I have collected the flowers of your generation." So Prabhupada is making a garland, making a very large garland. It's called the ISKCON Mala. The flowers on that garland are the hearts of each individual member, a man and woman in ISKCON. They make up the flowers on that garland, the ISKCON Mala. So we hope to qualify to be one of the flowers on the garland, because when Prabhupada finally ties the knot on that garland, we surely want to be strung on that garland and not be left out. And after finishing and tying that garland, Prabhupada will offer that garland to Rupa Manjari. Rupa Manjari will present that garland to Krishna. then Krishna will put that garland on Srimati Radhika. And we will become, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, pure devotees of Srimati Radhika. Prabhupada's father used to pray to all the sadhus that visited his house and took dakshin and prasad, please bless my abhai, that he grows up and becomes a pure devotee of Srimati Radharani. So while Radharani and the Sakis were building this mandir, this flower mandir, then Chandravali's the rival party, two of her Sakis arrive, Padma and Shaibya, and they met the Sakis and said, Sakis, what are you doing? Actually, they had Radharani and Gopis hadn't started, they were just collecting the flowers, they hadn't started building anything yet. So in order to trick Chandravali's Sakis, then Radharani and Lalita said, oh, King Kamsa in Mathura, he wants lots of flowers. So Abhimanyu, who's the so-called husband of Radharani, he ordered Radharani and all of us to collect piles of flowers for King Kamsa. However, Padma Sakhi and Shaibya Sakhi, the main Sakhis of Chandravali, they didn't believe Radharani's Lalita Sakhi. So they went immediately to Chandravali to give the report. Chandravali replied, somehow, you should find Radha and Krishna and break their happiness so they get no pleasure from these flowers. When Padma and Shaibya returned to Kusumvan, there was a very large clearing in the trees, flat area, right, open area. And there they saw a flower mandir was coming up, and Radharani and the Sakis were all busy making a flower mandir, like pretend this is the flower mandir. It was completely made of flowers, and Radharani's Sakis were surrounding that pushpa mandir. Then Padma and Shaibya ran to Yavat to meet Radharani's nasty mother-in-law, Jatila, in order to squeal on Radha. Padma asked Jatila, our Sakhi Chandravali wants to meet her sister Radha. How is Radharani the sister of Chandravali? Because Vrishabhanu's brother is Chandrabhanu, and Chandrabhanu is the father of Chandravali. So in America we would say they're cousin sisters, but in India they say she's my sister. Jatila replied, listen Padma, today is Sunday. So Radharani left the house and she went to worship Suryadev at Suryakund. Padma said, oh, Jatila, no, this is not true. Right now, your daughter-in-law is meeting confidentially with Krishna in a huge flower mandir located at Kusum Sarovara. What? Jatila grabbed a big stick. And with her daughter, Kutila, they left with Padma and Shaibya to catch Radharani with that rascal. When Radharani's Sakis, her scouts, they were on the lookout, they saw Jatila in an angry mood coming to punish Radharani with a big stick over her shoulders. They ran into the flower mandir to report the bad news to Radha and Krishna. Oh, Radhika, Jatila is rushing here with a big stick. She'll be here any minute. What should we do? Krishna very calmly said, don't be afraid. I will disguise myself as four-armed Chaturbhuj Lord Narayan. And you, my dear Radhika, you should disguise yourself as Lakshmi Devi. And it was done. Subal, you should disguise yourself as Radharani and do our puja and pray to us. Jatila doesn't know that very soon she will be playing a very interesting part in our Leela. Jatila arrived, and when she saw the flower mandir, she was astounded. Wow! This must be the temple of some demigod! It's amazing! So beautiful! She forcefully rushed into the temple, catch Radha and Krishna together. She was amazed and surprised. She found Lakshmi Narayan. Her daughter was there doing puja. Esha dupo kling sring kling Lakshmi Narayan namaha. Esha dupo sring kling Lakshmi Narayan namaha. Jatila, oh! Radharani, you're so fortunate to get darshan of Lakshmi Narayan. Listen, since you have no son, why don't you pray to Narayan to give you a son? Krishna disguises Lord Narayan. He speaks. Oh, this is pretty interesting. He says, yes, Radha has no issue, so she should pray to me for a son. This is Krishna described. Krishna disguises Lord Narayan. He said, and he starts. He's a deity. He's supposed to be a deity, and he starts speaking to Titira. Yes, yes. A talking deity says, "Yes, Chitila, you're right. Your daughter Radha, she should pray to me for a son." And then Chitila says, "Lalita Vishaka, finish the puja of Lord Narayan now quickly, and go to worship Suryadev and hurry home. Listen, I must return home because no one is there." So Chitila was very relaxed and comforted to know that her daughter Radharani was simply in this flower mandir worshipping Lakshmi Narayan, so she was relieved. And then she walked out and said, "Beta, Kutila," that's her daughter, Beta, "Kutila, this Padma and Shaivya, they really misled us. She made a fool of me. Those Sakis, they told us that my chaste, you know, your chaste sister-in-law," or whatever, sister-in-law, "your chaste sister-in-law, that she was cavorting with Krishna and the Kunjas at Kusum Sarovar, and she made a fool of me." And Kutila said, "Yes, why are they falsely decrying our chaste Radha? They have offended Radha when she's simply worshipping Lakshmi Narayan. Listen, if we see Padma and Shaibya waiting for us on the path, we should not even look at them. And don't even speak with them." So Chitila, because she's a little old and fat, you know. When Chitila was, she was walking on the path with Kutila on her left side, and then they saw Padma and Shaibya, and they just went. They completely ignored them, walked right by. Padma and Shaibya reported the events to Chandravali. And Chandravali thought for a long time, and then she told Padma, "I made an offense against my younger sister, Radha. I broke up her happiness with Shyam by sending my sakis to call Chitila and Kutila." Oh, this is not very good. After all, she is my younger sister, because she's younger. Actually, Padma, the fact is, Krishna, he actually likes Radha more than me. I'm really sorry for what I did. Listen, Sakis. Listen, everyone, Sakis. Everyone go out and get heaps and heaps of flowers. We have to make even bigger and bigger flower mandir than Radharani made. And that the compound surrounding that mandir, we should erect beautiful murtis there. And those murtis, these statues, they should look exactly like Radha and Krishna engaged in their different leelas. So Chandravali Sakis, Padma and Shaibya, they all gathered heaps of flowers. They took all these blue flowers and they made a beautiful blue flower murti of Krishna. And they picked all these sunburst yellow flowers and they made a beautiful golden murti of Srimati Radharani. And these particular flower pushpamurtis or flower statues, not like on the altar, they're like this. Krishna was standing like this and Radharani was facing him. And the murtis of Radha and Krishna were made in such a way that Krishna was giving Radharani a kiss. Interesting murtis, huh? Imagine you go into a temple. "Come into my temple." "Huh?" "Wow, that's really rustic mandir." Then Chandravali, she wrote two letters of invitation. One for Radharani and the Sakis, and one for Krishna and the Gopas. She sent one letter to Nandagram to invite Krishna and the Gopas to come to Kusum Sarovara, or whatever, nearby, to her own place. And she sent another letter to Radharani and Barsana to invite Radharani and the Sakis to see her flower mandir and all the beautiful murtis of Radha and Krishna, depicting and glorifying all Radha and Krishna's pastimes. Chandravali's festival was held at Gauri Tirtha. Gauri Tirtha is what Radha Kund is to Radharani, Gauri Tirtha is to Chandravali. And that's when you're on the Govardhan Parikrama Marg, after Aniyor, you come to Sankarshan Kund on your right hand side. And before you get to Sankarshan Kund, there's a little road off to the left. And you go off about 1 kilometer, and there's some trees, and there's a mandir there. That's Gauri Kund and Gauri Tirtha. And that's the meeting place of Chandravali and Krishna and her Sakis. That's Kunja is where they serve. That's down there, and of course, that's one at one end of Govardhan is Chandravali. The other side is Radharani at Radhakund. So that Gauri Kund is actually Chandravali. Gauri means golden or fair. She's also fair. So Gauri Kund is her place where she worships the deity of Gauri, and this is Radharani's place, Radhakund. This is Chandravati's letter. O my most beloved sister, Radha, today I am holding a very big festival at Gauri Tirtha, so please come and bring all your sakis with you. Krishna received a similar letter of invitation to Gauri Tirtha, and he was most astonished to receive an invitation from Chandravali. He's thinking, how is it possible that Chandravali is inviting me and Radhika at the same time? Everyone knows that Chandravali is the opposition party, the rival of Radha. Anyway, okay, I'll go with all my suckers and see the fun. When Radha received her invitation, she said, "What's this? I'm sure that if I go there, Chandravali will cause trouble by telling my mother-in-law that I am alone with Krishna. I can't trust Chandravali, but what to do? After all, she is my older sister, so I can't refuse her invitation. All right, I'll go with all my sakis." When Radhika arrived at Gauri Tirtha, at the flower mandir of Chandravali, Chandravali came rushing out of the flower mandir with her arms extended, a big smile. "Oh, my younger sister, please, Radha, please come and sit on the asan, Vyasasan. Please come and sit on the flower asan inside your mandir." Then Krishna arrives there. So then, when Krishna arrives at the flower mandir, Radharani and Chandravali both come out of the mandir to welcome Krishna. And Krishna is thinking, "What? What am I seeing? Is it my two arch rivals are walking together, smiling, to welcome me to the flower temple? I can't believe my eyes! But I must say, I feel very happy to see them both here in the same place." Krishna was thinking like this. Then Krishna sat on the singa of the flower asan, and Radharani and Chandravali washed Krishna's lotus feet. Then Chandravali, she took Radharani's hand and she said, "Please sit down next to Shyam. Sit together on this beautiful flower throne." Then Chandravali personally offered a full aarti to Radha Krishna Yugal. Meanwhile, all the sakis and all the gopas, they were wandering around outside the temple, looking at all the beautiful flower statues surrounding the flower temple, illustrating all the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. After the aarti, Chandravali left quietly, and then she met Lalita Sakhi, and she said, "Listen, Lalita, I want to take you upstairs on the first floor of my flower mandir. I want to show you that a very secluded private room which has a beautiful flower bed." So she brought Lalita there and said, "Look, Lalita, see the flower bed? And there's a pitcher of beautiful water, fragrant water, and some tambul. Everything's here. Listen, can you secretly bring Krishna here? And then bring Radha, and let them enjoy here alone while everyone is busy admiring all the flower statues outside. Lalita, can you do that for me?" Lalita, not believing her ears, but anyway, she went and she brought Krishna upstairs to the flower bed, and then she brought Radharani. And then Krishna ordered Lalita, "Lalita, hide Radharani behind the door of this room and call Chandravali's Sakhi Shaibya." So Shaibya, Krishna said, Radharani's hiding behind the door, so only Krishna's sitting on the bed. And then Lita goes and gets Shaibya. Shaibya is one of the rival Sakhis. Shaibya came there and she didn't see Radharani, so she asked, "Oh, Lalita," who was bringing her, "Oh, Lalita, where's Radharani? I see Shyam on the bed, but I don't see Radharani." Lalita said, "I went to collect her, but she refused to come here." Then Shaibya said, "Are you sure that Radharani isn't here somewhere? I smell the sweet fragrance of Radhika's body." Lalita said, no. "Actually, see, I was just with Radharani, so the fragrance of her body has come in my clothes. Radharani's not here." Shaibya said, "All right, I will go myself and bring Radharani here." Lalita left the Kunja Mandir, closed the door, and let Radha and Krishna enjoy a blissful meeting on the divine flower bed made by Chandravali. Vrindavan Bihari Lal Ki Jai. So you see that actually all the Leelas in Vrindavan are all based on wonderful exchanges of love. There is no envy. So it's not that Chandravali is a demon. She's not the enemy party. She's Nijarupa Tayakalabi. She's an expansion of Radharani. And she also plays a very important part in increasing the happiness of Krishna and also the happiness of Radharani. So this is a very wonderful and sweet pastime. Certainly quite a change of events. But you see by this pastime that sometimes, you know, the devotees, they feel, oh, maybe I made some offense. Maybe I've done something wrong here. And then they make elaborate arrangements to rectify the offense. This is all Leela. There's no question of Aparad. It's all Leela. But Chandravali, she felt bad in her heart. Oh, actually, I sent Chatila, which is all this Leela. But maybe I disrupted the happiness or interrupted or broke the happiness of Radha and Krishna, which she didn't do, but she thought she did. So then she felt bad and made an elaborate arrangement to compensate for that. Chandravali could have simply approached Radharani privately somewhere and said, oh, yesterday I made some offense, please accept my obeisances, please forgive my offense. So this is interesting, because generally if we make some offense to a devotee, they think, oh, Prabhu, I offended you, please accept my obeisances, and leave it, that's it, finished. But here we see that Chandravali's she's such an elaborate arrangement she's making to ensure, because she felt that she gave some unhappiness to Radharani by her activity of squealing on her and bringing Jatila. So now she wants to make up for it by giving lots and lots of happiness. So if we offend some devotee, then that displeases them. Aparad means to displease someone, ultimately Krishna. And to rectify that means we should actually give them pleasure. So the actual full rectification program for making an offense is not only to fall at the feet of the Vaishnava and beg forgiveness, but also to give all kinds of gifts, give a plate of Mahaprasad or some new dhoti or gamsha, some small gift within the means to try to please and make that devotee happy again with us. This is some nice point of Vaishnava Sadachar etiquette we can learn. Even from this Leela, we can draw some teaching. Although it's Leela, and this is all Sarup Shakti and transcendental, and it's all about exchanges of rasa, but even on a level of sadhaka, we can get some lesson for our own exchanges. Vrindavan Bihari Lal Ki Jai, Giriraj Dharan Ki Jai, Radha Rani Ki Jai, Jai Jai Shri. So that concludes our Yatra for today. Shri Kusumban Leela Ki, Shri Kusum Sarovara Ki Jai.